Just checking scores, you know, seeing what's going on here. A church is this, for crying out loud. A couple things we want to just look at before we get into today's message. The first one, wow, my condolences. You know, a great lady in our church for so many years, Donna Mayhew, has passed away just last week. And Kaylin, I brought this morning, like, I brought this up to, like, make sure people knew who you were, and here you are. So a little divine appointment is, like, was just checking the back doors always, making sure everyone's okay, and we got our greeters, and there you were. And so why am I saying thanks for being here this morning? I'm just grateful to be a part of your family, and thank you for allowing Almy and I to be a part of your story, too, as you got married, and we got to do premarital counseling with you guys. It was so sweet, so special. When Almy and I moved here 8 years ago, unfortunately, Donna fell ill, and so we never really got to know her very well. And so I've just got a text here about some of, you know, the things of who she was, and so I'd like to share them with us this morning. It was sadness that we share the passing of Donna Mayhew Saturday, May 23rd, at the age of 61. Donna was a loved member of our church family and will be remembered for her loving heart, generous spirit, and deep faith in Jesus. Throughout her life, the themes of power, strength, and joy held special meaning to her, and those who knew her saw these qualities reflected in the way she trusted God and cared for others. As we grieve her loss, we also hold fast to the hope we have in Christ and give thanks for the impact Donna had on so many lives. Please keep the family in your prayers during this time. The family is planning a celebration of life this fall, and further details will be shared as they become available as we get closer to that date. So you'll get updated later on. And I just know lots of us here today, probably half the room, maybe didn't know your mom. And so this is just new information. But we just value members of our church. Like, they're our family. And so when someone passes, we mourn and we grieve together. We don't just kind of push off and, like, well, it's just another day in the office. It's like we pause and reflect and we celebrate these times as well. We know where she is. She's healed. She's in her right mind. She's with Jesus. And we'll see her again. But, you know, we still have to go about our days that we have here on this earth. And Ike, you're here as well. I apologize on Friday. We just got back and, you know, your brother had just passed away. And so you guys did a graveside for him as well. And so there are many that are hurting right now or going through something. So let's just take a moment this morning and just, God, we're a big family here. And Lord, we celebrate life and we celebrate even death because we know that people are going home in a sense. They're going to be with you. And so, Father, we just know that they're in a safe place. We know that they're healed. And so, Father, help each family here this morning to process their own feelings and emotions. God, you gave us emotions for a reason. So we want to handle them well. We want to respect that. Lord, help us to remember to reflect with these families. Help us to lean in and support and pray and even give a Kleenex or lean in and help out in any way that we can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Next Sunday, as we talk about, you know, at the end of life, we always talk about the beginning of life as well. So two things are going to be happening next Sunday. It's going to be a powerhouse Sunday. The very first thing is in the first service, we're going to be doing some baby dedication. So if you have a child and they're young-ish and they haven't been baptized or dedicated yet, I apologize. Maybe if they're a teenager, usually I would hold the child. I do not want to hold your teenager. It could be a little bit awkward. Maybe if they're under 10 or something, I'm having some fun with you. Because we love to give them this little mini New Testament and this nice little lullaby CD that your teenager would love. I'm sure I'm joking with you now, but let's just stay focused. I apologize. But babies, okay, so young children, if you want dedication. So what we do with a child is we dedicate them to the Lord. And then we say, Mom and Dad, you're going to raise them in the ways of God. And we as a church will support you in raising your child in the ways of God with all the programs that we offer and the ways that we can help out. So that's going to be in the first service. I want to tell you, why don't you just hang out into the second service? Because we have water baptism on the second service. So the tank will be out next Sunday here. Then after that, as far as I know, Clarence You're having a big old shindig at the camp, 95 years old. So there you go. It's going to be an awesome Sunday. We're looking forward to it. So hurry up and get here because it's going to be a party. What happens as well here as a church, so, you know, again, you know, babies and dedications, water baptism, and then people become members of our church. So we call him Front Row Brian, Workout Brian. He'll be here in the second service. But this is Brian here. There's his picture. He told me to take it off Facebook. I said, dude, I just need you to understand, like, there's not a lot of great ones on there. He said, it's okay. So I said, that's on you, man, not me. Yeah, he's a great guy. You'd love him. Anyway, he'll be here in the second service. He's one of the newest members of our church. So we're at 105 members now as a church community. So blessed to have that. Just to clarify, membership, it just means that you're like, I'm committed to this church, and I want to be a part of the family, and I want to sign up so that we can work together. And if you never become a member of this church, you're awesome. God loves you. We love you. You're super welcome here. But however you decide to go about, there's some membership packages at the back. There's my little advertisement promo for you. Let's get on to why we came here for lots of reasons, but I do want to look at the Word of God this morning. So we're on a theme, in a sense, of Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, and we talked about the Holy Spirit coming down. I want to continue that theme, or that thought process, into the book of Acts chapter 1, and talk about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came down. He filled people on the day of Pentecost. And here's Jesus saying, almost predicting what's about to happen on the day of Pentecost. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you've got your pew Bible in front of you, if you don't have a Bible, pull it out. Turn to page 770, and you could follow along with us today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will, not might or maybe, or if you're nice or you're good looking or if you've got money or you know whatever, no, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Not maybe, not if you're evangelistic or no, you will be a witness. Where? In Jerusalem, that's where they were. In Judea and Samaria, the surrounding communities, and to the very ends of the earth. We could probably say that we're not witnesses in Jerusalem. We're not witnesses in Judea and Samaria. We are witnesses and we're spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. And out of this, the continuous story is where we land. We're part of that story. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I want to focus our time together today, though, as I've highlighted, though, as a witness. Again, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit showed up in the upper room. We could read this, and like last week, you could go back and listen to it in chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes down to be with people, to fulfill God's plan, to continue his church, to continue his work, to continue his salvation, his redemption for people. And he used people. Isn't that wonderful? Like the story could be that God just did everything because he's that powerful and amazing. But he decides in all of his wisdom to use God, Holy Spirit, and give us the Holy Spirit so that we can continue his work. That's his plan. Wow. We get to be a part of his plan. It's not just like this far-off entity or force that's out there. He's just kind of doing things. He's like, I want to involve people, and I want to involve every single person. All of them will be a witness. Wow. Isn't that a fun thought? Everybody was filled. Now, everybody in the upper room at that time, you would think about, well, it's the elite. It's like the super apostles and mighty disciples that were hanging around with Jesus and this lonely guy, Peter, who just denied Jesus 3 times. I don't know the guy. Get away from me. You know, I swear I don't know the guy. Like, he's rebuking his membership at his local church. I don't go to that church. I don't want to be known to be going to the Pentecostal church in Terrace because people think that we're a bit crazy and weird. I understand that, but God will still fill you with the Holy Spirit because that's the way he works. So in the upper room, you got Peter up there who just denied Jesus. I don't know your story. I don't know your journey. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you've done or what you're ashamed of or what you're whatever. God will fill you up. The Holy Spirit will enable you to be his witness no matter what you've done. Wonderful news, isn't that? It's not like, oh, clean up your act. Okay, just go away, clean up your act. Then come back, Holy Spirit will fill you. Like, that's crazy talk. No, he will fill you. When you come here, you will be filled up. You will sense the little hairs on your neck will stand up because you're like, oh, look at the Holy Spirit. I could feel him. Were you here Friday night at worship time? It was just like, nobody was doing anything. It was just the piano playing. Oh my gosh, the presence of God was thick in here. It was just majestic. We could feel him. We could sense him. We weren't perfect. We didn't come in having it all together. We were just like, I just want to follow Jesus with my life. So the very first thing that we see here is that we get filled up with the Holy Spirit. And then what usually happens in our normal lives, right? What usually happens, we're like, oh my gosh, I got saved. I got filled up with the Holy Spirit. Then you start hanging out with your friends and people at work. You're like, oh, I'm afraid to tell them. Like, I'm afraid they are going to reject me. Right? Our thoughts start racing. We're like, oh my gosh, they're going to hate me. They're going to judge me. I don't want to tell them about what happened to me. What I do on Sunday is private from the rest of my workday. You know, I don't want to tell them about that. My family, they don't like Jesus. I don't want to tell my family about Jesus. That's weird. You know, usually when you're sitting down to your dinner, you're like, you want to eat the dinner. You're like, I just want to pray, but oh, these people around me, they might be offended if I ask to pray for the. We feel like we're going to be rejected. So we're a little bit timid when we got saved, when we get filled up. But I want to show you a couple things that will hopefully help us overcome this fear of rejection. So we're in Acts, the very next book. So we go forward just a little bit. We go to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. So I just want to just share a couple verses about a fear of rejection. We'll look at, you know, when the church is already going. And then I'm going to go look at Matthew and show you when the church was just starting and Jesus is speaking into this. So Romans 8, 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. See, we might be a little bit concerned or feared about people and what they think about us. We should be way more concerned about and fear the God and what he thinks about us. Not worried about people and culture, about what they think of us. This is temporary. This is not our home. We don't even belong here. We belong in heaven. We've got an eternal destination. That's where my concern should be. So we shouldn't be so concerned. But I'm a human. I get worried. I get concerned. Every time I go to witness, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like sweating. I'm thinking about it. I'm overthinking about it. God's like, there's a divine appointment. You better say something. I'm like, oh, come on. You know, I'm on a plane. I'm just want to relax. And God's like, put somebody next to you. I want to tell you about that story in just a moment. Let's go back as well. So we're in Romans. Let's go back a few books. Let's go to Matthew. Very first gospel in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. All men, oh, come on, Lord, don't say it like that. All men and women will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Again, it's more important. My salvation is secure in Christ than what people think of me. But God, that my status, you know, like, you know, I'm like, I'm good friends with so-and-so, and I know so-and-so, and in my work environment, I'm liked. I don't want to be disliked, God. Like, that would be awkward and weird. I don't want to be that kind of weird Christian guy that goes to Pentecostal church, you know. No. It's more important that we stand firm in our faith and present the gospel and witness to people. Here's just the bare facts. Okay, I'm a numbers guy. Please let me just, you know, just wig out for a second and I'll come back to the message. But facts. When you go and tell people about Jesus, about a conversation about faith to your friends, these are statistics on friends, not people you don't know, not people in the bus or the plane you don't know, about your friends. Here's what they're saying about Christians. If you want to have a conversation about faith, let me get this right, 25% are open and 42% are very open. That's 66%. 66% of our friends want to hear about the gospel. Wow, isn't that incredible? If they want to talk to you, a friend, about a relationship with God that you have, 27% are open, 38% are very open. That's 66% of people want to hear about your relationship with God. That's unbelievable. These are your friends. Conversation about faith, Christian faith, not just faith, spirituality. I'm talking about Christian, Bible, Jesus faith. 26% are open, 40% are very open. 66% of your friends and my friends and family are open to talk about Christian faith. So why are we afraid? That's 2 out of 3. So 2 people are going to be open to it and 1 will reject you. 2, that's like a sandwich, you know. God will do it like this too. The first friend you talk to will be like, this is great, I love this. The second friend you talk to be like, get away from me, you know. And this third friend, he'll love you. Oh, that's good, let's have this conversation more. 2 out of 3, what are we so afraid of? These are facts. Did you know that 75% of non-Christians are open to a conversation about Christ? non-friends, non-believers, people that we don't know, 33% of them will walk away from that conversation wanting more. So half the people you bump into that you don't know, that you have a conversation about Christ with, half of them will want to know more about Christ. But why am I afraid to talk about Christ? The survey also said, though, that Christians, not this church, we're not like this. This church is awesome. We witness. We love our community. You guys are amazing. But the other Christians out there somewhere, right? No. Let's be careful. Let's not judge the people. Only 55% of these people will talk to their friends about Jesus. And the other half, we're not sharing the gospel. There's nobody in that church, in our church that says, we're 100%. I'm with you on that one. Never mind that. Okay, so when I first got saved, of course, God, you know, throws me in the deep end as always. He's like, oh, you got saved now. And I start hearing a message about share your faith and witness to people and all this kind of stuff. I get on a plane to go for some work, and the person next to me, like, he's in excruciating pain. I can just tell. He's just, oh, and the plane, you know, does some of these, oh my gosh, oh my back. And, you know, he's, you know, do you want some food or anything? He's like, he just can't even speak. He's just in so much pain. I'm like, oh, come on, Lord, please. I'm so tired from all this training. I just want to go on this plane. Like, I just tired. I just want to put it back, put the headphones on and just check out. And I can just, this guy is just like, I'm like, oh, mate, like, what happened? And he tells me the story about this big accident he has. And I just got saved. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say. It's a plane, and you know right now I have a microphone so you can hear me. But if you know me well, I'm very soft-spoken. There's a plane, there's all this noise, and I don't know, I don't talk loud, so I'm like trying to lean in. You know, and he's just saying to me what happened, why his back was hurting, and all this kind of stuff. I said, the Lord just gave me those words. I don't even know what was said. I said, I just got to know this guy, Jesus, and I was told that if I prayed for you, God could heal you, and I don't even know how to do that. Can I just pray for you? He's like, sure, you know. So I don't even know what I said. It was a total disaster. He just laid there in excruciating pain, and we went our separate ways. Like, I don't know. I didn't know who this guy is. Hey, maybe you're watching online. Maybe you got saved on that deal. That was like a long time ago. But anyways, who knows? But all I know is, like, I just need to be obedient in this moment. Because it's not me. It's not my power. It's not my words. But it's the God, it's the Holy Spirit in me. Wants to witness to people. And God put that person next to me for a reason. So he heard the gospel. He can never stand at the end of his days before God and say, God, I don't know you because no one ever told me about you. And God will remind him of that conversation, that prayer that I did for that guy on the airplane. I don't know where they end up. It's none of my business. I'm just trying to be obedient to Christ. It's not easy some days, is it? It's difficult sometimes. When we witness to people, though, and we look through the scriptures, God refers us, our identity or our characteristics, as certain things. So when we look in the gospel, we look in the Bible, we see God would call us children of God, brothers and sisters, disciples. But he also calls us, as we just saw, witnesses. We will all be a witness of what Jesus has done for us. So being a Christian means being a witness. It's not an optional thing. Well, like, I, you know, with the spiritual gifts, I operate in some of them, and others I'm working on, or maybe I might not ever, you know, just I pick and choose what God does in me. And witness isn't one of those spiritual gifts you choose. It just is. It's who we are as Christians. Christians are witnesses. Let me look at two scriptures with you to kind of echo that. Let's go forward. We were in Matthew. Let's go to Luke. So Matthew, Mark, Luke. And if you're ever bored one day, read Luke and then read Acts. As we'll go there in chapter 5 in a moment. They're two books. They kind of read a beautiful story about Jesus. So Luke 24 says in verse 46, he told them this is what is written. The Christ will suffer. Jesus will suffer. Jesus will raise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. So what does that mean? We are witnesses of these things. These disciples witnessed those things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised you, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on, until you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, so you can go out and be witnesses. This is in the book of Luke. That's Jesus. He's speaking. Let's go forward to Acts now. Let's see it on the flip side of it now. Jesus predicted, Holy Spirit shows up, churches are started, His apostles are doing wonderful things. The disciples are doing wonderful things. Churches are growing. People are getting healed. Of course, the religious leaders and the people, Pharisees at the time, are like, we don't like this Jesus. We don't like this church, whatever's going on that's new here. And so they begin to question the disciples. It says in Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied to those people that were challenging them, saying, stop witnessing, stop spreading the gospel. We must obey God rather than you. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, by crucifying him on a cross. God exalted him, exalted Jesus to his right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins for Israel. You are witnesses of these things, so that the Holy Spirit whom God has given, we must obey him. So when we read that in this context, all these years ago, they were witnesses of this. They saw Jesus interact. They saw him heal. They saw him die on a cross. They all freaked out. They all saw him rise again, talk again, you know, walking through walls. They all met with him. And then he checks out and the church begins. So these individuals are now witnesses of what Jesus had said and done. Now, you and I are not witnesses of that, are we? Like, I don't know how old you are. You're not that old, okay? You know, I'm feeling old. My back's hurting. I understand that. But, you know, you were not that old. You're not thousands of years old. You were not there. We're not the pure witness of that. But we are witnesses of what Jesus has done inside of us. He's taken a broken person, and he's redeemed them, and he's now using them to advance his kingdom. That's who you and I are. We can easily be witnesses of that. I don't know all of you before. I know some of you. I see the miracle God has done in you. And he's redeemed you and put you on a good foundation. And that's a witness to people that know you. Your friends see in you. Like, wow, what changed? Well, it's not because you read a self-help book and you're on some kind of medication or you're, you know, whatever. It's because of Jesus showed up in your life. And God, the Holy Spirit moved in and now you're radically different. That's what we are witness to. That's easy to share. It's your story. That's how you witness to people. Not only that, we can share about the other people in our church. You talk about people in our community that you're like, this thing just happened to this person I know. And they're my friends and it's you're sharing their story. Now you're witnessing to people. And if you have nothing, if God's never done anything in your life and you don't have any friends where God has done anything in your life, then you have this thing right here. There are some wonderful stories in here of what God's done in and through people's life. Murderers. And we talk about Peter who denied Jesus. We talk about people that did all kinds of crazy things and God still loved them and God still used them. Wow, that's a witness. That's a wonderful story that we can easily share with people. Let me think about it this way. You know, if we were to witness something that had happened, the police might show up if it's something bad and start questioning you as a witness. Okay, what happened? I want to know the details. I want to know exactly what went down. Explain to me what time was it? What was the moving parts? That's a witness. We can easily do that. We can easily explain what God's done in our lives. Think about your salvation story. When were you saved? When did your life get turned around? When were you filled up with the Holy Spirit? When were you baptized? These are all things you just share with people. That's your witness. When Omni and I went down south, as always, I fly at the 10 o'clock flight, so I'm in Vancouver at noon, so I can drive right over to my favorite ramen place with the smoked egg. Like, come on. And so there's this waiter. He's there every time. For years and years, he's been there. And so he even knows. I only go there once or twice a year on training to Vancouver. And I get to go to this ramen place, just my favorite place. And I walk in. He's like, hey, you know, we just kind of know each other. And I don't even need to order. He knows what I want. I'm thinking, this guy's cool, man. Like, he just knows, even though I only get to see him a couple times a year. And he said to me this time, he said, I haven't been able to figure out my PR. He's from Japan. His name is Dai, and he's like, I got to go home this fall. And so the next time you come, I probably won't be here. I was like, oh, man, that's brutal. And so I'm praying in Jesus' name. I'm praying he's listening right now, that he would give his life to Christ. Like, I just get to be a little witness in his life a couple times a year. I don't know what God's doing or how he's working, but I pray in Jesus' name that he would come to salvation, that he would go back to Japan and he would witness in Japan to many people of the goodness that Jesus has made in his life. I pray that that would happen. That would be so sweet. So sometimes we're afraid of rejection. Sometimes it's a lack of knowledge. We think, well, I'm not like Pastor Ben, who's very knowledgeable, or like Pastor Rob, like it's just we know this thing. Well, the Word of God says this morning. You know, like all of a sudden you're like, well, it's going to take me some years to feel comfortable to be able to, you know, quote scriptures to people. It's not about that. It's not about head knowledge. It's about heart knowledge. And our heart will witness to people. Look what it says in Matthew. So we were in Acts. The Bible's awesome. We're just jumping back and forth, but it's good stuff. Matthew 10, verse 18, 19, 20. It says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about something or anything that you ask for me, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For when two or three come together in my name, there are way more than two or three of us together right now. And we're praying that people would be comforted. We're praying that people would be saved. We're praying that our community would change in Jesus' name. And I believe that will happen. That's a witness to our community as we come together, as we do what God is asking us to do. We follow him, we follow his words, we follow his story. Let me witness to you about something right now. It's so easy. When Aldi and I go to Vancouver, I just told you, we go to our favorite ramen place, we get the smoked egg. Then we almost always go out for sushi. Oh my gosh, the sushi rolls there. I forget that the quantity you get down south versus the dollar is usually double. So I ordered some food, I thought, because in town you order, it's just smaller, and we respect that. They're trying to make money, we get that. They gotta travel, I get that. But in Vancouver, it's like massive. So I ordered a few things, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to eat all the sushi? Yes, you know what I mean? I'm joking, after it was quite. Then we found this brand new place, it's called Cheeseworks. So they did this, they've got a farm with animals, then they make the cheese right there, and then they take the brie, and then they bake the brie, and you get to eat. Oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. My taste buds were singing, dancing. Then we go out for some of our favorite blackened Cajun chicken. And because we had eaten so much cheese and other things, we're like, let's order it and we'll just split it in half because we're already so full. Then we went over to our district conference. We got a bunch of training. They brought in this food truck and they had tacos. But then you put a toothpick through it and you deep fry it. Oh my word. Wow. That's unbelievable. Then before we got on the plane to come home, we went out for some Thai food, and I had a barbecue duck lychee red curry. I have never had that before. Where has this been in my whole life? Like, thank you, Jesus, for flavors. Now, look how easy that is for me to witness to you about, you're going to ask me later, you're going to be like, where is that restaurant, Pastor? I would like to, that's easy to do because it's something I'm passionate about, something that brings my stomach and taste buds joy. Here comes the challenge. Do you know the greatest person that I know is perfect? And he's holy and majestic. And he saved me from a life of just a complete disaster. He's awesome. Can I tell you about him? Can we as easily do that about our Jesus? And I hope that we can. There's a challenge for us. You know what the other challenge is? It's this clock. Why is this clock ticking so fast? But I just want to hang out with you, and we got a second service, so I got to kind of wrap this up. So let me just kind of move along here. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. We'll edit that part of the sermon later. But I just love you guys. I love hanging out with you. Love looking at the Word of God together. Romans chapter 12, though, in verse 11 says, almost like that busy lane I talked about during communion. Sometimes we just get so busy. We get so kind of comfortable in our schedule. We can get kind of lackadaisical about witnessing to people. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And so I think at times we can honestly, and I can too, I could think, hey, we've got this cool board over there, because boards are awesome. You know, bulletin boards with like numbers on them. I love numbers. But you know, we can go, hey, we're anticipating by our 100th anniversary, in the next 10 years, 9 years now, maybe 100 people will get saved, and 100 people will get baptized, and we'll have 100 new members. We're thinking, that's awesome, great. And then we kind of get comfortable, like, well, God's gonna do all that, and so we got a board, and so, like, we got a church, we got comfortable chairs, and we got a board. Like, that'll save people, right? Like, what? No. Like, let's not get comfortable with the board. What is God going to do in and through us? And we can say, well, you know, like, I go to the church that, you know, is the only church that's doing two services. Like, and we just get comfortable in that, you know, like, that's crazy. Don't ever do that. Like, we got to stay spiritually on fire. We're filled up. And let me nerd out for you just for one more time, and then I promise we'll wrap this up. There's 14,000 people in Terrace. There's 4,000, you know, ish, in Thornhill. So 18,000 people. Do you know that on a Sunday morning right now, we'll reach about 500 of them? It's about 2.5% of our community. That's peanuts. And how many people is God interested in? 18,000 people, not 500. He wants all of them. And so how are we going to reach them? How are we going to witness to them? I know, we'll meet in a building. That will witness to them. It will in a little bit. But we actually need to witness to people. Never mind the things that God is doing currently. What is he up to? I want to be a part of that story. I want to be a part of that journey. If I could put it this way. As I see young kids around here running around, I'm always just like, I wonder who's going to marry who. Because I see a bunch of young kids that used to be in here in diapers. They're all married now. I'm thinking, that would be an interesting conversation. You know. Anyways, it doesn't matter. As we pour into the next generation or the next couple generations, what can happen? I don't know. But I hope. And my prayer is. There are multiple communities in Canada where more than 50% of people go to church. There's a community just out there in Manitoba where 4,500 people go to one church of a community of 20,000. So it's not very far off from ours. And I don't care about the numbers. It's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in the idea that if we could impact and have people coming to church or knowing Jesus or in relationship with God, more than 50% of our community in every town, in every city, in every village, what would that do to our country? The country of Canada needs to know Jesus. Terrace needs to know Jesus. Thornhill needs to know Jesus. So that's the goal. It's not about a church or a building or a structure. It's about people following Jesus. And how can we do it? We have to share. We have to witness to people. God says something miraculous in and through you, not just for you. Would you admit to me just for a second that maybe God saved you so that you could witness to family and friends and coworkers? He said, you know what? You're the person that I'm going to put in that circle of influence. I'm picking you first so that you would witness to all these other people. Wow, what a calling. What an opportunity. God, I don't want to mess that up. And I'm willing to take a pie in the face every so often from somebody that doesn't want to hear it, because I know that two or three other people want to hear it, and I'm going to share it. And so sometimes we're so afraid. It's not about, you don't have to know this thing inside and out. Don't do that. It's not about your own story. It's about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. So when you go to have a conversation, he'll just give you words. Well, many of us here today can attest to that. You had a conversation, got super nervous, and you're a little bit worried about how it was going to go, and all of a sudden God just, whoa, look at that. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Scripture came to mind. They walked away. They were blessed. Let's be great witnesses in this generation so that we can expect something wonderful to continue to happen in our church for years to come. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, we are super grateful for your word. Father, often we look at your truth and we want to apply it to our lives. And so, Father, as we heard the truth of your word, we thank you that it's landing on a good foundation in our hearts, that it's landing on good soil, that it's going to grow and it's going to produce and it's going to multiply. And Father, as well as we hear your word, I pray that the doors and the pathways of fear, pathways of rejection, the pathways of, you know, we're too proud, we're too busy. I pray that you would close those, cut those off. Father, those divine appointments, those opportunities you give us to share, God, we would be so bold. Would you just help us to open our mouth? Would you help us to walk across the street? Would you help us to just discern and have wisdom as we just open and share and witness to people? Father, you are so good. And we are so blessed to have you. We want to share it with others. We can't do it on our own. We don't know how to do that. But thank you that you gave us Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a witness of what God can do in and through us. So So thank you that it's not us, it's you. Less of us and way more of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As always in our service, by this time, you've sat for a long time. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We came, we worshiped God with singing. We worship God through the reading of Scripture. We've worshiped God through communion. We've worshiped God through hearing a message. And we're going to worship God now by being quiet. So for the next 2 minutes, we're going to pause, we're going to reflect and say, God, what are you saying through everything I've experienced and heard today? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? So it's just 2 minutes of reflection time.